Welcome to the My Crazy Office podcast with the authors of Working With You Is Killing Me, Working For You Isn't Working For Me, and Mean Girls at Work, Kathy Elster and Catherine Crowley. They're committed to creating world peace, one crazy office at a time. And now, here are Kathy and Catherine.
Hey everyone, I'm Kathy Elster.
And I'm Catherine Crowley, and welcome to My Crazy Office Overtime. So Kathy, today we thought we would talk about the disease to please.
Mm-hmm.
And that phenomena in particular, the inability to say no at work.
Right.
And what can be the problems that arise from that, and what would be some ways to try to address it.
You know, I think people that can't say no do that throughout their lives, not just at work.
Yes, I do.
Oh, there we go. Okay, so let's just talk about
you. Yes, I have. I have learned, actually.
I have this also.
Yeah. Well, this is one of the things we were talking about before we were on the air, is that it is, in many ways, the desire to please is strong and strongest in earlier years, right? Mm-hmm. In your 20s. So in your late teens, your 20s, and maybe into the early 30s, it's a very strong pull, right?
It's usually when you don't know your value.
Right.
So you think, well, if I just give more, if I just do more, if I take that on my plate, they're going to see how terrific I am. So it's really about your self-esteem.
Yes. Yes, it is.
So once you develop your self-esteem, then you develop the ability to say, that's not for me.
Right. Or you realize that by saying yes to everything, you actually can't do well on anything.
That's true.
If you say yes to too many things.
Right. So but that also, I think, is confidence building or self-esteem building, is learning your own limitations, I think.
Yeah.
Probably you know better.
Well, I think that accepting that you have limitations is probably the first point, mm-hmm. you know, to realize that you... So usually the desire to say yes and to please comes from trying to earn respect, earn value, right? Mm-hmm. And then the problem is that if you say yes to too many things, you'll end up dropping the ball, disappointing, and not getting this respect, not being as valued as you'd like to be, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So for some people, they get that, you know, they get to a point where they realize, okay, this is not working for me. Mm-hmm. And I do have limits. I can only do so much work. But for others, it's a much more difficult balance and decision.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know for myself, and I've seen other people, even though they know it's beyond their limits, they still think their value is caught up in pleasing others,
right,
and making sure they don't disappoint others. But
right.
the booby trap is you end up disappointing others because right. you really took on too much.
Right.
So I hope other people out there know what we're talking about, because I think a lot of people suffer from this.
Yeah, and I mean, I can speak from my own experience that in early days, and certainly certainly when I started my practice and was trying to juggle that with part-time work and working with you, Kathy, and I would just feel like I had to say yes to everything, that I had to work longer and longer hours, and that was the only way I was going to prove myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then it does get to a point of diminishing returns where you forget something, and mm-hmm. as we know, I'm very good at forgetting things, or you drop something, or you don't meet a deadline, or you miss an important meeting, and you realize that something is very wrong.
For me, I realized that the thing I should have said no to ends up being the thing I hate.
Ah.
Or that it just, you know, it has all kinds of things about it that don't work out. It causes me the most amount of angst.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it's like it was almost destined to yeah. not work out. Mm-hmm. And then that's a process of learning, oh, I don't really need to do that. I know that this is not my thing. This is not what I'm very good at.
Right.
I guess.
So learning that certain things are not your thing then allows you to say no later down the road when a similar project or account comes up.
Well, also learning to say, I don't want to disappoint you and I have too much on my plate. So as much as I'd love to help you, I'm sure you can find somebody else.
Oh, that's
to
great.
Take that project on. That takes a lot of guts to say that.
Right.
Because what you think the person is going to say is loser, you know, or they're gonna say something they don't say. They
yeah.
usually say, oh, thanks for letting me know.
Right.
Or they may say, do you know someone?
Right. Or they may look disappointed for a moment, mm-hmm. right? But they'll get over it.
I think the thing that made it easier for me is I realized nobody cared. Like when I would say, you know, I can't really do that, it wasn't a struggle. It yeah. turned out that what I thought the struggle was more internal. It mm. was more my own feeling that I was going to disappoint or that no yeah. one was going to like me if I didn't show up and,
right.
you know, clean their house and, you know, then do all the work and get everything done for them. I thought they were not going to like me.
Yeah.
And it turned out that wasn't true.
Interesting.
So it took me a long time. How long did it take you? Well, you don't have to say
oh
what
my
year.
Gosh.
Long time, yeah.
For me, until my 40s, took a long time. And part of that, too, is in just the way I'm designed, is I want to, I mean, we all do, but I really am driven to serve other people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's what I get up and want to do mm-hmm. in the day. And so I had this also a certain perfectionism going on in my mind that I should be able to do it all. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I learned, and I know we talk about in Working With You Is Killing Me regarding both heroes and martyrs, is that taking on too much really disenfranchises other people. You know, it disables them from picking up the slack and actually doing a good part of a job as well.
So like a martyr.
Yeah, exactly. So even if I wasn't terrific at something, or actually if I was not good at something, it was better if I let someone else do it. But letting mm-hmm. someone else do it would be then scary because maybe I would be less valuable.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. Right. I think that's why some people don't want to go on vacation or they don't want to say no to certain projects because they're afraid if I'm not doing everything,
yeah.
then they're not going to think I'm working.
Yes.
Which is really not accurate.
Right.
So I know it's Oprah who called it the disease to please, and I think it is needing other people to like you so that
yeah.
you do what's not right for you so that others will like you.
Yeah.
And it's really not the way to go.
No. No. And so the first is identifying it, that you've got this tendency. Mm-hmm. And then the other, it's I think that the part that's really about balance is figuring out when to say no and when to say yes, right? I imagine
right.
that's something, Kathy, you probably help people with in executive coaching, right? If they get
oh,
a new
definitely.
Promotion
I'm always helping them understand, you know, what their own limitations are and when they should say no to projects that will not work out for them.
Yeah.
And everybody knows that ahead of time, usually.
Mm-hmm. But this is the interesting thing. So you just said, Logan, have you said yes to something that you knew going in was probably not a good idea?
Yes.
We all
and
have.
Then you end up juggling 20 different things,
yeah, it's
you know, it's stressful, or
yeah.
you end up not doing work that would have been great if you had less things to do, and it just becomes mm-hmm. 20 mediocre things.
Yes. Right.
Yeah, I find myself dragging if I have to do something I don't really want to do. And
Yeah. So I'm going to suggest, if you know that this is something that's difficult for you, if you know your tendency is to say yes, 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 that one thing you can do just as an intermediary step would be to create a pause, right? Mm-hmm. If someone comes to you with a request or a job or a project, that you say, give me a moment or give me a few minutes, let me just look at my schedule, let me look mm-hmm. at my workload and see if I can really do this for you.
I think that's really good because sometimes they'll just say, oh, if never mind, I've got somebody else.
Right.
So that's really good. But I know you also tell people just practice saying no.
Yes.
I know.
Which
you
is
know
not
what?
Easy.
I'm going to tell a little story about Catherine. We were at the Mall of America a couple of years ago.
Oh, boy.
I think we were buying shoes. And Catherine told me she felt she had to buy them because the person helped us. It's like, are you kidding? That's
oh
their job.
Gosh. Really? Did you buy them?
I don't think I did at the end because Kathy,
because Kathy was there.
What?
That's ridiculous.
But yes. Do you still buy because people help you?
No.
I guess you do.
I
think you do.
I haven't in a long time.
Oh, big.
And you know what I did is I stopped going shopping when I wasn't sure what I wanted.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because that's the other part, right? If someone's helping you when you're not sure what you want and you sort of know you don't really want it, but you feel guilty about
right.
them helping you, which is part of my problem, then it's not a good thing.
Right.
So I only go shopping now when I know what I want.
I've felt that before. But
you
I don't buy. I just
pressure?
Wait until they turn away, and then I slip out
then
of the store.
Then you slip out.
So follow Logan's technique much better.
Flip out because they will get distracted.
What's that? And then run.
Yeah. And then that's right. And then get off the street quick. Right. Just get out of there.
Exactly.
But I'm probably not alone. Don't you think there are other people who...
I had never seen that before. I'm going to be really honest with you. I had not seen that. That was a...
Wow.
That was... I would give you a gold award for...
Codependence for shopping.
Phenomena.
And that's really caring.
Yeah.
Taking it a little too far.
Well, so... And that, my friends, is the point. The people who say yes too often care. They actually care too much, right? And that's it. And you don't see it as simply a business transaction or someone's job to do this, or this is how you should be performing in the role that you have. You know, it's not good for a manager to be doing the work of the people that they supervise. Mm-hmm. You have to start to see it a little more objectively in order to make a different decision.
Yeah, it's about taking care of yourself, because I know the disease to please is all about taking care of others.
Yeah.
And then there gets to a point where you have to start taking care of yourself.
Yes.
And knowing what is reasonable, what you can do, what you want to do.
Yeah.
So, and I think learning to say no is very powerful.
Oh, it is. So going back to that, yes, the practice. Because for some people, you know, there's a period of time in development, they usually call it the terrible twos, though it could be the terrible threes as well.
And they can continue.
Or 20s or 30s or 40s.
Well, kids just say, no, I won't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't
That's their
make
favorite
me.
Word.
That's true.
Yeah, no. And so what I will encourage clients who have a hard time saying no at all to do is to just literally walk down the street going, no, 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 no. And then if you go, for example.
Out loud?
Yeah.
Does that work?
Quietly. The other thing I ask them to do is to go, like if you go and you order, let's say you order a tuna sandwich, which I would, and they say, do you want lettuce? You say yes. And they say you want tomato, you just say no. Just to practice literally having that come out of your mouth.
I think I would fly in New York. Because people are yelling at everyone all the time.
That's
but
true.
But I don't know, in a nice little place, if you go, no, I don't want that tomato, is that... I get your point. I'm kidding. I'm just joking. I think learning to say no, to try it in safe ways.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Because no is a complete sentence. That's another one of those sayings, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But which is hard to understand. And I'm teaching what I'm having to learn. So that's why I thought this was an interesting topic, because it's an ongoing practice.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, so if anyone's out there suffering from this and they know they have too much on their plate and they know they're doing the work for five other people,
right?
You do have to learn to say no.
You do.
And it's important. You'll be respected.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The other thing that you can do, because I think time optimism comes with this territory, is before you say yes to anything, double the amount of time you think it's going to take you to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Kathy does not have this because she has a great time mind. She knows about how long things take. I don't. I have time dyslexia. So if I double the amount of time I know it's going to take, then I pause before I take on something new.
Mm-hmm. Double, huh?
Yeah. Do you remember how you came to the point where you could say no? You were saying, do you remember at what point in your
career? I was in my mid-30s, I think. I think I just had enough burnt experiences where I took on responsibilities for others because I wanted them to like me, and then they still didn't like me.
Mm-hmm. You're like,
always
a
great gratifying experience.
Yeah. So that was very helpful.
Thank you to those mean people.
Yeah, all those haters out there.
Yeah, and then I had too much on my plate, and I had to learn what was valuable and what wasn't, and what I did. And then as I started to do it, that muscle developed very quickly.
Right. Mm-hmm. So practice is part of this, right? Practicing, like you found specific areas where you could say no initially.
Well, I'll tell you, I also found that when I wasn't clear with people, sometimes I'd fudge it. You know, they would say, well, can you do this? And I'd say, you know, I didn't really give a direct answer.
Right.
And they took that as a yes.
Yeah.
So I learned that the firmer you are in your no,
right,
the better off things are.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that was a hard lesson to learn.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So I had to, you know, because the language for me, because again, it was fudging, you know, are they going to like me? I was just sort of testing the water.
Yeah.
You know, am I going to piss them off? And then finally being able to say, no, I really think I can't do that. I'm going to say I can't do that. And then it was like, oh, okay. And they moved on.
Okay, good. I would like to add one more thing to this general idea, because what that reminds me of is if you have a hard time saying no and you get the courage up to say no, people in your sphere who are used to you being the yes person may have a negative reaction to that. Right. And if they do, they will try to get you back to the same wonderful, compliant you that they've always known.
Right. They may not even hear you say no.
Exactly. In which case...
I heard you say yes.
And there are those people who can't hear no.
There's that. Right? That's a different element.
Yeah. We'll address that another time.
Oh, we could talk about that now. My friends, I have a good friend like that who does not hear no.
No, exactly. So you have to set your boundary over and over and over again.
Right.
And those actually could be good people to practice with.
Oh, gosh. I don't know. It doesn't go anywhere.
No, it's true. All right, so that's it. The disease to please. We're encouraging you to first become aware if this is your tendency. Understand that developmentally it's very common, especially in the early 20s and through into the 30s as well. If you find you're overloaded with work and you've got too much on your plate and you're feeling swamped and overwhelmed, you probably have this tendency. As Kathy so wonderfully pointed out, you can say no, in very kind and professional ways, specifically in I don't want to disappoint you, so I don't think I can deliver on this. And we'd love your questions and your comments on this topic.
My Crazy Office is produced in New York City at K Squared Studios. Stay crazy.